Hello, ladies. Nice to be here. I was actually at your fellowship, was it a year ago at Christmas time? You had Christmas tea? Yeah, so it was kind of nice. When Lisa called and asked me to do this subject, I absolutely had to ask the Lord, I asked her, can you kind of give me some directions? And, you know, Lisa doesn't realize I'm a really slow person. Or maybe you do by now because I don't email. I said, Lord, please show me exactly what she wants. And I'm just kind of tossing and turning. And the Lord just nailed it. And I go, okay, I get that. Let's do that. And so, Lisa, Lord willing, this is what you want. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and just your amazing love. You just engulf us with your joy and your peace and just abounding love, Lord. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that as they've come back from lunch and maybe they might get a little sleep, that you would help us to stay awake, that you would just cause us to focus on what you want us to hear this afternoon, Lord. And Father, I thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would deliver the message that these gals need to hear, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God's amazing creativity is my title. And it is amazing to realize as we behold the wonder of the heavens, as we gaze at the beauty of our world, that it is all a product of His amazing creativity. Psalms 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Just the little bit that we see is all His handiwork, His creativity. God's amazing creativity is so vast that it carries into the intricate details of our very being. In this session, we're going to look at God's amazing creativity and how it is intertwined in every area of our lives as we yield to Him. We need to realize God's handiwork, His amazing creativity, is manifested in everyday circumstances of our lives, in the small things as well as the large things. The problem is sometimes we look at the small things and think they're insignificant, where God is involved in the details of what we think are those insignificant details in our life. And really, that's what I'm going to look at, how God is intricately involved. He is creatively working in our life in the small things, in the everyday circumstances of our life. But first, I want us to note that God has given creativity and manifested His gifts, talents, and abilities all for His glory. Everything we have, everything we are for His glory. Because they are God-given, it is only reasonable that as we have received, we willingly yield them over to our Creator. The worship leader said it first in James 1, chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. He is the one that has gifted. He is the one who has given to us so freely. Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Notice, we are His workmanship, creatively designed by Him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us, for it is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How amazing as He intertwines His creativity in us, and then in turn, He allows us to be a vessel for His glory. Amazing privilege, ladies. We are amazingly privileged by God. The psalmist states in Psalms 144, verse 3, Lord, what is man that thou take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Doesn't it just kind of blow your mind that He has called us with an everlasting and with loving kindness He has drawn us? What is man that you are mindful of us? It boggles our understanding. For many, the talents, the gifts, and the abilities are revealed little by little. It takes time to mature and understand the full potential of how God will use us. Life is a classroom that will mature our gifts, our talents, and our abilities that we possess. We see talents and abilities in just the women that were up here this afternoon as they led us in worship. Amazing talent. I'm always amazed. Matter of fact, I used to be embarrassed to sit by any of them because I know I can't sing, I don't clap. And so when I would watch the musicians, whether it was their musical ability or their voices, I was just in awe. I've learned since then to make a joyful noise, and God's happy with that. But those that are gifted with incredible talents as those are amazing to me. Then there are other talents. I have a friend who does incredible, incredible watercolors, and I'm blessed because I have some of her work on my walls. And then I know a woman who designs incredible jewelry. And then I have a friend who is incredible when it comes to craftsmanship, when it comes to wood, and just amazing talents. And some of those people, they had to go to class. They had to learn. They had to grow in their knowledge of that. And you see that in Exodus 35, verses 31 through 33, as God orchestrated certain individuals to work on the temple. Listen to what he says. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic work, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. These are obvious talents and abilities, which I possess none of. And you may ask yourself, yeah, that's really great, but I don't know what my talent and my ability is. Ladies, every one of us have gifts where we can fit in to God's creative design. I was at a conference several years ago, it's been quite a few years ago, where Elizabeth Elliott spoke on this same subject. And she stated, maybe you don't know where your gifts and your talents lie. She said then, do the next thing. And I listened to that. And I'm going to get into what she meant by the next thing in just a moment. But what we fail to understand, many times, God's creativity is at work, even when we are unaware of it. As we choose to walk according to His principles, we have all God's creativity at our access. As we walk with God, as we follow Him, as we allow Him to mold and shape our lives, He matures those hidden talents and abilities in the most unobvious surroundings. And that's most of us. In the most unanonymous surroundings, God takes those talents and He brings them forth in ways that you never thought He would bring them forth. So what is the next thing, as Elizabeth Elliott stated? She said, do the next thing. This is the first point. God's creativity is seen in motherhood. Some of you are homemakers. Some of you are home taking care of your children. And you understand the importance of nurturing and training your children, as Proverbs 22, verse 6 tells us. Most of us understand the privilege that we have in being able to have children, as Psalms 127, verse 3 tells us. At times, it is an overwhelming, daunting task. These little lives look to you and depend upon you. When I first had my first child, I never realized that my life would change forever. Never to be the same again. But as we are obedient to care for our children, to teach and to train them in the principles that God, in His amazing creativity, is doing a wonderful thing. At the same time we are training and teaching our children, God is training and teaching us. We are learning invaluable lessons as we train and teach our children. We're learning life is not all about us anymore. I remember thinking before I had a child, pretty good Christian, I got it together pretty well. And then I had my first child, and it was horrible. It was a very difficult task for me, and I realized life was not all about me anymore. Through child rearing, we're learning we are to be patient and long. And children force us to see that we are lacking in those areas. I saw how much I was lacking in patience and long suffering. But as I chose to walk in God's obedience through my children, I learned these principles. As we nurture our children, God is nurturing us. We are learning a childlike humility as we train and teach our children. Are you amazed how humble your children are? And God says, that's what I want to see in you. See how humble they are? That's what I want to see in you. We're learning a childlike forgiveness as we're rearing our children. How many times do we get upset and blow with our children? And when we apologize, they so willingly cry and hug us and love us. God says, that's what I want to see in you. When someone apologizes to you, I don't want you to rear your ugly head with pride. I want you to be like your daughter. like your son, and I want you to humbly and forgivingly forgive that person. We are learning a childlike trust from our children. Isn't it amazing how much they trust us? I mean, we tell them to do something, to go somewhere, and they just do it. God says, do that with me. God's teaching, as we're teaching them, God is teaching us those very same priorities. These are just a few lessons we learn in God's amazing creativity in child rearing. Next, God's creativity is seen in our attempts to be wise stewards. You know, I'm amazed today that our world is so caught up with just charge it, just charge it, just charge it. You know, that was not even an issue when we were growing up, because I don't even know if we had, or when I was a young parent, because I don't think we had a charge car. And actually, I'm so grateful we didn't, because we were strapped, incredibly strapped, no money, living on a shoe thread. And I remember wanting to have birthday parties for my children, and we were so broke. There was no way that I was going to go to a bakery and go get a nice cake for my children for their birthday cake. And so the Lord, in His goodness, His amazing creativity, allowed me to take a cake decorating class. And while I was taking that cake decorating class, even though I was only able to go to 3 classes because something happened, it was amazing how God allowed me to learn how to decorate a cake. My kids had a Pac-Man birthday cake, Superman birthday cake, they had a strawberry shake, whatever they wanted. God, in His amazing creativity, allowed me to be able to do it. Am I an artist? I bake with another friend. She's an artist. But me, I just slop it together. But you know what? My kids love it. My kids loved it. As a matter of fact, I'll look at some of the things and I'll go, wow, I did that? Lord said, no, we did that. But the Lord opens amazing doors, because I stepped out and I decided I didn't want to pay the money for some of these bakery cakes. And I found out a friend of mine had taken a cake decorating class as well. And so when her brother was getting married, he didn't have the finances. And so her and I did a beautiful, and we know it was the Lord because it was beautiful, a beautiful garden wedding cake for him. Because I was strapped, God allowed me to take that cake decorating later on so that I could use it to bless others. Through the years, the Lord has allowed us to do wedding cakes for people periodically that can't afford it. See, He took my strapped situation and used it to benefit others who are strapped. What a blessing. God doesn't waste anything. Little insignificant areas where God wants to use us, where we think, what is that? But God wants to use it. There have been cakes that we have done where I know that people have been blown away. Actually, we've been blown away ourselves as we do. Next, God's creativity is seen in the hardships of our lives. In Genesis, there's a godly man whose name is Joseph, with a loving father and 11 brothers. But being godly does not exempt us from hardships in our lives. Matter of fact, Joseph suffered horribly at the hands of his brothers because of jealousy and because of hatred. And the hatred climaxed to such degree that his brothers beat him and left him for dead. But then they thought, we might as well make a profit from Joseph. And so they sold him into slavery, where Joseph later on is in servitude for a man named Potiphar. In Potiphar's servitude, he is then accused of a crime that he didn't commit, but unable to defend himself, he is sent to prison. And let me remind you, ladies, this is a godly man. This is a godly young man who is, through the circumstances of hardship, finds himself in a prison. How long he's in that prison, I'm not really sure. I didn't check. But during all this time, incredible hardships for Joseph that he endured. Not understanding, yet completely surrendered to the will of God. Only to realize with hindsight that God was grooming and training Joseph to be second in command of all of Egypt. See, we have no idea what God is doing as we are in the midst of hardships in our life. In God's creativity, it was necessary for Joseph to go through the hardships in order to make him the leader God could use. God's creativity works, ladies. Listen to this. It works supernaturally through the natural. That's how God works. It's not like a bolt of lightning's going to hit you. It's not like in the thunder you're going to hear his voice. But he works supernaturally through the natural. As Joseph dealt year after year after year through the hardships caused him by his brothers, God was raising him up. God was molding and shaping him into that godly man. There came a time when Joseph was able to confront his brothers who had horribly mistreated him. Joseph had an opportunity to harbor hatred, to be critical and cynical of his brothers. But listen to Joseph's words as he confronts his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." You know, Joseph recognized God's creativity. You see, ladies, in Isaiah 55, verse 8, it tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord." How we think God should orchestrate and plan and execute our life is one way. And God knows that if it was executed that way, it would destroy us. But God has his eternal purposes, even though we don't understand. As Joseph, we yield and we surrender. And we live our life to honor him, to please him. The hardships transformed Joseph to make him into the man of God that he could use. Hardships, ladies, will allow us to draw close to Jesus. The hardships will allow us to become more like Jesus. And isn't that what we want? That's him. Amazing creativity in our lives. I will never forget years ago listening to a man by the name of Dr. Hendrickson. And Dr. was asked to go speak at a leprosarium. Leprosy is still on the rise. They still don't have a cure for leprosy. If you know anything about leprosy, it is a horrible, horrible disease. It dismembers and mutilates and just disfigures your whole body eventually. And you lose feeling, so people would lose part of their feet because they bang it or hurt it and they never felt it. Same thing with their hands. Dr. Hendrickson was at this leprosarium and he was going to share the gospel message. And while he was there, different people in the leprosarium in the audience were sharing. They were just sharing different things that went on in their lives. And this one woman stood up and she raised both her hands. And her hands were incredibly disfigured, horrible to look at. And she said, "I thank God for my leprosy, because it's through the leprosy that I came to know Jesus." You see, she recognized God's creativity in her life. She didn't complain. She recognized God's creativity. I think about the Apostle Paul, who was used greatly, enormously, but he had enormous hardships. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Nobody knows what that thorn in the flesh is. And you know, it's probably better, because if we did, we'd say, "My thorn's worse than his." But Paul at one point sought the Lord three times to have this thorn removed. And God said to him, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And listen to what Paul said when God ministered to him then. "Therefore," Paul said, "most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul reaped the blessings of God's creativity in the hardships of his life. Will you reap the blessings, or will you murmur and complain and say, "Oh, woe is me"? God wants to bless in the midst of the hardships. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Through the hardship, God's creativity is working out patience in your life. And who doesn't need patience? I do. I don't know a single person who doesn't need it. God has eternal purposes. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "We know that all things work together for the good for those who are called according to his will and according to his purpose." Recognize God is manifesting his comforts, which we would not know unless we had gone through the hardships. How many times have we gone through incredible hardships and we put our face to the ground and we seek God and God ministers to us. God strengthens us. God does incredible work. But we would not have known that had we not gone through the hardship. His creativeness seen in the hardships. Next, God's creativity is seen in being faithful in the menial things, the mundane things. My husband, after graduating from college, couldn't find a job. And so he finally found a job working at this company. And at this company, it was his job to, and my husband is missing one eye, and so he's very protective of that one eye. And so when he went to work, they gave him the job to grind metal. He had to grind metal, I forget what it was for, and there's sparks flying off, right? For 8 hours every single day, 5 days a week, he would grind metal. That was his job. He didn't say, this is a boring job. What am I doing here? I have an education. I've gone to college. No. He said, Lord, help me to be creative. And what he did is he went to work, and these in the olden days, he had a black lunch pail. You know the guys that were constructing. He had a black lunch pail. He put a cassette in there, made a hole, put an ear plug in, and for the 8 hours, he went through Chuck Smith's studies from Genesis to Revelation. He said by the end of the night, his ears were killing him because, you know, those earplugs after a while. But you know what? What Xavier didn't realize, my husband, is that God was grooming him for the ministry. We have been in ministry for over 36 years. God is so good. God is so good. Don't take those mundane things for granted. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, despise not the day of small things. It's in the small things that God begins to build us up and to use us and to work in us. If you're at a job that appears to be boring or routine, you do what God has called you to do. You go to work, you be the best worker you can be for His glory, for His honor. You have no idea what God is preparing you for. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. How many times have we been at work? I know my first job. My very first job out of high school was a factory job. And people taught me how to get out of work. Hey, I like this. But as a Christian, you do the best you can. You be the best witness in your job, and you work harder. God works supernaturally through the natural. Do you remember Joseph, who became the most powerful man, one of the most powerful men in Egypt? It began with his incredible organization skills. So much that when he worked, whoever he worked for noticed and recognized those organization skills. Potiphar noticed when Joseph was employed by him and his house was benefited. The jailer noticed his organization skills as he was in prison, and the jailer used Joseph. Pharaoh profited from Joseph's organization skills as he collected the food to prepare for the famine. Joseph saved an entire nation and the surrounding nation, and later on his family, due to God's creativeness because of one man's organization. Do you understand how important it is that wherever God has you, you do it to the best of your ability? Joseph never knew he was going to be one of the most powerful men in Egypt. Joseph never knew that he was going to save a nation because of a famine and his organization skills. Another area we see God's creativity in the workforce is the worldly environment at our place of employment. And most of us are in a worldly environment. The people around you are worldly, their conversations are worldly, we're exposed to crude jokes, gossiping, lying, cheating, and much, much more you add to the list. Ladies, we live in a dark world. At your place of employment, you are to be the light of Jesus. How many times do we sing with our children, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. But do we do it? Do we do it in the workforce where the crude joking's going on, the cheating, the lying, the affairs? There's just, you name it. It goes on in the workforce today. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What are some of those good works? In God's creativity, He may want to use you because of the kindness of Jesus. You're able to show kindness to somebody there at work that maybe has no friends, or that has gone through a horrendous divorce or a horrendous fight. But because of your kindness, you can minister Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a merry heart. Maybe you're one of these people that are always merry. And sometimes people come to work and they're just gloom and doom. Doesn't God's word say a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? Sometimes you're the medicine at the workplace that the people around you need. Maybe it's your honesty, because there are people cheating, and it's a witness to Jesus Christ. See, it's not always what we say about Jesus, but it's how we conduct ourselves. It's God's creativity in the everyday circumstances of our life that we think are insignificant, are incredibly insignificant. You have no idea how many people are watching your lives. You have no idea what kind of witness you are. Sometimes God allows you to see it. Other times you'll never know, not until you're with the Lord. Ladies, let your light shine, because through these opportunities and many other ways, God's creativity is at work to minister to a dark and dying people. Isn't that where we live today? In the midst of a dark and dying people. God in His creativity is developing the fruits of the Spirit that the people at your place of employment may see Jesus. Wow, what more can we ask for? God, who am I? What is man that you would bestow these gifts, these privileges to be able to share Jesus? You know, I've been at Afterglows where they have been incredibly glorious. There's been a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, a word of wisdom. But you know what's more exciting to me than an Afterglow? Is that when you're with different people, maybe a sister comes up to you and she starts sharing with you about something that's going on, and all of a sudden, as you begin to talk with her, scriptures roll off your tongue. And the person is so blown away that you're talking to you because you have encouraged them through the Word of God. But what that sister doesn't realize is that you're blown away too, because you knew that that wasn't you, that was God bringing forth the Word. And how exciting! How exciting. You see, it's not only in the afterglows. It's in the everyday circumstances of our life. How many times have you prayed with someone and God gives you specific scriptures as you're praying? Oh, powerful. Powerful. I'll never forget, my friend and I were at the bank one day. And it was just everyday conversation, we're talking. Well, the lady in front of us began to talk to us and struck up a conversation. And next thing you know it, I'm telling you, it was a tag team. When she stopped sharing, then I started sharing. It was just an on, because we found out she was a backslidden Christian. And oh my gosh, we were just going to town. It was amazing in the everyday mundane things of our lives. Another time, I was going to the bank, and as I walked into the bank all by myself, I walked into the bank, and I saw these three or four men walk in. And you know how sometimes you just go, you just kind of get a vibe. Well, I walked in there, and all of a sudden, you know, I could have walked out real fast, but they came from this side, and maybe I walked in from this side. And I could have walked out, and I was thinking, you know, space. Well, the next moment, I heard, everybody on the floor. They were bank robbers. And I'm telling you, we didn't have a lot of money in those days. And not that we're pockets are filled anymore, but I remember thinking I had some money and I was going to go grocery shopping. Or not grocery shopping. It was not groceries. I was going to go just have mad money. I was just going to go shopping, clothes, whatever I felt like buying. I had a whole $100 or something. I was just going to go play. And I remember I couldn't wait to cash a check. And as I walked in there and they said, down on the floor, I remember I had this outfit on. And you know, when you don't have a lot of money, it costs them a lot of money to send things to the cleaners, you just take care of everything. And I remember I just got it out of the cleaners. I'm just going, got it! And you know, I'm just laying on the floor. And then I had my ring and I just go, whoop! I mean, how carnal is that? Switching my ring around so they can't see it. Laying on the floor complaining because my clothes that I just sent to the cleaners were going to get dirty. And all of a sudden, as I'm obsessed with all this carnality, I heard this little child start to cry and make a fuss. And they had already roughed up the bank teller. And as I laid there, the Lord said, Trudy, pray. I want you to pray right now. And I began to pray, and I prayed. And I go, Lord, please calm this little child down. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want this child to get hurt. Because, you know, I don't know if these men are on drugs. I don't know what their deal is. Obviously, they had come with the intentions to rob the bank. And they left, and everything was fine. And you know what, ladies? I'm telling you, I know I was part of the protection as I interceded in prayer for these people. I know it. After I finally got my eyes out for myself, and I was able to pray and intercede, what a privilege. What a privilege. But I will tell you, as soon as the detectives were finished questioning us, can I still cash my check? I did take off shopping. But you know, you have no idea how God wants to use you. You have no idea how we are involved intricately in the smallest of details to the largest. We don't know. We have no idea. God's amazing creativity is seen in the most small. I was just going to the bank, getting ready to go play and spend $100. Had no idea. My friend and I, when we'd gone to the bank, had no idea that God would use us to minister to a backsliding Christian, just in the everyday circumstances of our life. Next, God's creativity is seen, and all of you will identify with this, in the failures of our lives. Were we not all failures in Jesus? In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, loved us and called us to Him. Our failures brought us to the cross, and through God's amazing grace, He keeps us at the cross. We don't stop having failures because we're Christians. In spite of our failure, God's creativity upholds us. If not, we would be consumed with guilt and condemnation because we fail Him every day. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The blessings we receive when we are relieved and delivered from the guilt of sin is overwhelming, isn't it? It's overwhelming at times. In Psalms 145, verse 14, the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. God will uphold you. He will lift you up. You know, check this out. It's not news to Him that you failed. He knew about it before. But you know what? Satan likes to beat us over the head with it. He likes to bring that condemnation into our life. But I'll tell you, through those failures, don't we grow? Don't we realize we never want to do that again? I'll never forget going to a friend's house as a young Christian. And they had just accepted the Lord. Maybe I was a couple years in the Lord. And they put on this movie. And as they put the movie on, the Lord said, Trudy, get up. I don't want you to see this. Now, I say that not that I could get up self-right. Oh, no, I'm not watching this. You know, I'm a godly. No. God said, just get up. Act like you're going to go do dishes. Do whatever you got to do. I was at my friend's house. But I don't want you to watch this. And I go, Lord, I can't. I'll be self-righteous. I can't get up. And I sat. And I felt myself grieving the Holy Spirit in such a horrible way. Horrible. And when I got home that night, I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I am so sorry I did not listen to You. I'm so sorry that I thought I knew better. And I'll tell you what, I've never made that mistake again. Never. Because when you fail God in a certain way, you realize how severe it is. Your spirit is grieved incredibly. It's not a place where you want to go again. Abraham, the father of faith, had lapses of faith. And yet God was able to use him. God blessed him. He became a father of a nation. David failed. We all know about David and Bathsheba. Some of us capitalize it. But yeah, what about him? David was a man after God's own heart. David knew 1 John 1:9. He knew how to confess his sins. Read the Psalms. David went through incredible hardship because of that fall. Incredible hardship. So incredible that I'm sure he never, ever wanted to go there again. David said in Psalms 19, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Who does not have secret faults? We all do. But we need to bow our heart. And we have to ask Him to cleanse us and to wash us. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And it was said of Peter that when he would walk down the street, that people would crow like a rooster as he walked by. How would you like that? Prior to Peter's denial, the Lord had told Peter He would deny him. Listen to Jesus' words to Peter. In Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, it says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brain. Yet, through God's creativity, Peter is restored and is used to feed God's sheep. Peter was used amazingly. Peter was present during Pentecost and preached a powerful message. Peter was used greatly in ministering the gospel. Peter was instrumental in uniting the Jews and the Gentiles in the early church. Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter. I'll say Peter strengthened his brother. You know, and when you fall, and you know how horrible it is to fall, then you can have that same compassion when a sister around you falls. You can encourage her. You can lift her up. Ladies, Satan desires to sift every one of us as wheat, but God has prayed for us. And when we come back, we strengthen our brothers, just as Peter did. John Mark failed on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. There was such a contention when he left between Barnabas and Saul that they split. But later on, Paul said of Mark, he is a help to me. John Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. Because we fail doesn't mean God's done with us. Remember, we serve a God who is the God of the second chance, and so on, and so on, and so on. He continues to bless if we will humble ourselves. Some of the failures will mark us for life, because we'll never want to go back there again. Some of them, we just, Lord, thank you. Thank you, and we will understand His compassion. Next, God's creativity is seen in our fears. Fear can be a good thing. There is such a thing as a good, healthy fear. Growing up, I was one of seven children, and to be disciplined by my father was not anything that you wanted. So there was a healthy fear that I didn't want to be disciplined. And then there was a healthy fear that I didn't want to hurt. I didn't want to hurt my dad. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 says, "Fear the Lord our God, for our good always." Did you see that? When we fear, it's for our good. It's a good, healthy fear. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Then there is a fear that renders us helpless. You know, all of us, when we were kids, were afraid of the boogeyman. Went to bed at night, Mom turned off the lights. You were sure there was something under that bed. I remember I just kept my hands up like this to think that they would fall down by the bed. Don't grab me, I know, I'm just, you know. And have you ever felt that way? You just like, you're paralyzed. You don't even move. You're so paralyzed. That's not a good fear. Ladies, I had that fear when my children became preteens. And I had a girlfriend tell me, she says, "Trudy, you have a good relationship with your kids. That's great. But I want you to know that once they turn teenagers, all hell is going to break loose." And you know what? It wasn't funny to me. I fear. Lord, I don't want to lose my kids. And I saw, I know what the world's like. My kids went to a public school. I know how bad. Kay Smith would always share with her children as they went off to school, "You are sheep among the wolves." And truly, our children are. And so I knew that. And so I began to become incredibly fearful. And I thought, well, if I discipline them this way, this will happen. If I discipline this way. And so in my mind, because fear had so gripped me, then I thought, the only way I can finish training and teaching my children is to compromise. I'll compromise here. I'll compromise there. And God is so good, because He ministered to me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Trudy, listen to this. "I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." And then He gave me another scripture. He gave me Proverbs 29:25. And it says, "The fear of man," but that was me. I was ensnared by fear. But God so graciously spoke to my heart. He said, "Trudy, what I want you to do with your preteens is I want you to teach them and train them as you have always taught them, according to my principles. You have a great relationship with them, and if they choose to walk away from them, then that's their business. But you be obedient to my word. You do what I have called you to do." Ladies, it was freeing. It was so freeing for me, because I had gotten so consumed with it. And I'll tell you what, my husband didn't know that I was consumed with it. My friends didn't know I was consumed with it at the time. Even the girl that planted that seed had no idea, the seed of fear that she planted in my heart. But you know what? God is greater. God is greater than that. These are the everyday circumstances in our life where our amazing God does amazing creativity through His Word. God is so good. So good. Through God's creativity, I became fearless. I was able to teach and train my children. Through fear, I experienced God's love, God's strength, and His Word. In Psalms 56, verse 3 says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." You know, my sister-in-law some years ago went to Colombia, and the Lord opened the door for her to speak in a Colombian prison. And the prisons in Colombia are nothing like the prisons here. I mean, these are vicious, vicious people. And the Lord opened the door for her to be able to share a period of freedom. And this was years and years ago. And there are parts in the movie where Raul is actually being very brutal with Sharon. And as they're all sitting there listening, and the prisoners are listening, they're like, "Yeah! Yeah! Get her!" And they're just cheering the violence that Raul is inflicting on his wife. They're happy about it. And so she's sitting there, and she's just like, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh." And the Lord's telling her, "I want you to share after this movie. I want you to share with all these people." And I'll tell you what, she did it. She got up there. But every ounce of her body said, "Don't do it! Don't!" She was so fearful that one of her breasts began to quiver. Nobody knew it. You all know that feeling when some part of your body starts to quiver, but nobody knows it. One of her breasts began to quiver, unshakably. She just was so shaken. But had she allowed that fear to dominate her life, those men would have found her in the gospel. God opened a door to be able to share the gospel with the offscourge of the world. Literally the offscourge. We can't allow fear to dominate us. Now you and I, chances that we're going to go into a Colombian prison and share the gospel are pretty slim to none. But how many times does fear grip you when God is saying, "I want you to share with your next door neighbor. I want you to share with that coworker." And we're so fearful. We are so fearful that we refuse at times. We're fearful that they're going to think we're stupid. We're fearful that they're going to laugh at us. We're fearful that they're not going to receive us. And really, ladies, the bottom line is, we're fearful because of our pride. What does somebody think about me? Who cares what anybody thinks? The only thing that's important is, what does God think? What does God think when He opens up an opportunity? What grips you with fear? Know that God is able to do abundantly above more than we ask or think. Whether it's motherhood, whether it's trying to be a good steward of your money, whether it's the hardships in your life, whether it's being fruitful in the menial things, whether it's the failures, whether it's the fears in your life, you and I have a choice to honor Him. And He will do astounding things in our life if we allow it. Astounding things. But it's in the small things. Remember Zechariah, despise not the day of small things. But I also want to caution you that as God begins to use you, or you know that God is blessing you in a certain area, I have watched incredibly gifted individuals who are so gifted that they actually forgot that it was God that came to them. And I've seen them actually feel like they need the carpet, red carpet rolled out for them. And you know, I look at those people and I think, what a shame. What a shame. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, "For who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Everything we have, everything we are, what we're made of, is because of God's grace, because of His creativity in our life. Romans 12, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think
of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
What's he saying? Get a grip. You're not as great as you think you are. How arrogant to think so highly of ourselves. Matthew 10, verses 43 through 45 tells us, whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life for ransom for many. We're talking about Jesus. He didn't think he was God. He came to serve. Jesus said, I am among you as he that serves. That's our calling. That is our calling. Paul exhorts us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, walk worthy of the calling for which you are called. We are to walk worthy wherever he has us, however he desires to use us. Philippians 1:27 tells us, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. What is your conduct? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And as you do, ladies, watch how God's amazing creativity will be manifested in your life. And isn't that what we want? I want people to see Jesus. I want that more than anything else in my life. That's right. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you how you are so creative to work in our life in just the most awesome ways, Lord. Father, help us to understand that you have put us in places. You have put certain boundaries. And Lord, that you desire that we be fruitful in wherever you have us. Cause us to understand how creative you are as you desire to use us. Help us not to box things in that only this type of person can be used. But Lord, that we would understand that every one of us is called to that divine purpose for your kingdom, Lord. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies.